to be at this point in life to serve with men like Brian, I am humbled because everyone doesn't have the things that we have and the people that we have here. I'm eternally grateful. On Wednesday nights, we have been talking about portraits of call. And Brian was scheduled to do the class and the lesson, and I just could not allow him to do that. You know, he does so much, and I'm thankful for that. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12 through 14 will our thoughts come from. One of the things that impressed me about these passages as Paul is pressing toward the goal. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfect or perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When we consider some of the things that are in this text, I think it's very important that we consider verses 1 through 11. Of course, we're not going to be looking at all of that, but we know that Paul gives his pedigree, the things that he had accomplished. And he makes those particular points because apparently someone was putting forth their pedigree. Paul says, you can't boast. If anyone could boast, I can boast, but I'm not going to boast in the things that I've accomplished. And then we consider what he says in verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. That's interesting that Paul says that the superiority of knowing who Christ is more important than what I've attained. Just coming into not just a relationship, but into fellowship and favor with Christ surpasses all of my accomplishments that I accomplished in Judaism. But then he says in verse number 8, Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things and count them rubbish. And notice these four things. He wanted to know Christ, wanted to gain Christ. He wanted to experience the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, wanted to be conformable unto his death. He just goes on this spiritual tirade, if you will, and like, this is what life is about right here. This is what life is about. But then he says something that just blew my mind. It's interesting that when you're studying the Bible, you find little nuggets of truth. You find those little gems that they're tucked away. In verse number 11, there's something that is just tucked away. It's tucked away. He says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This verse here is just tucked away in the midst of all of the blessings and the beautiful things that he has said. Notice, if by any means I may attain, the word attain there, literally, and I had to look at this and meditate on it because I'm like, this can't be right. If I may make it to the meeting place. Meeting place? What meeting place? Hold on. This is the beauty of studying the scriptures, because as we are pulling out the text from the original, we're breaking it open. We're translating. We're allowing God to actually show to us what's tucked away. There's a meeting place. What meeting place? The resurrection. That's interesting, because Paul talks about Jesus in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, how he was raised by the Spirit of holiness unto righteousness. The very fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised because of holiness and righteousness. But this word here is also used in Matthew 25 verse 1 and also Matthew 25 verse 6. And also the idea is seen in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17 as it relates to the five wise virgins and how these wise virgins were prepared to meet the bride. Or the groom, I'm sorry, the bridegroom. But the five foolish, they were not prepared to meet. And so when the groom came, these wise virgins were prepared to meet him. Paul says here, I'm looking forward to that meeting day. Which makes sense because of 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Guess who's not going to meet him in the air? Those who are not prepared and ready. Those who have died outside of Christ, those who have obeyed the gospel, yet they didn't remain faithful. They're not going to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to be a meeting day. And it made me think about, you know, we ought to get ready for the meeting. The last thing you want to do is go to a meeting and not be prepared for the meeting. Right? And so Paul says, if by any means I may attain, be prepared for the meeting to the resurrection of the dead. Which answers some more questions that I had, because everybody's going to be raised, but everybody's not going to meet the Lord in the air. And so things started to make sense from verse 12 to 14. Notice. Not that I have already attained. Attained what, Paul? The meeting. At the time in which Paul wrote this, he had not yet got there. Now, isn't it interesting that when the Lord returns, those who had died are going to come with him? Yes, they're coming with him. You know, if you die, you go to Abraham's bosom, when the Lord comes back, everybody who is in Abraham's bosom is going to come with the Lord. Why? Because it's going to be that resurrection. God is going to put the spirit back into the body. And they're going to be raised. But then notice what he says. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus had also laid hold of me. I'm going to lay hold of the one who has laid hold of me, which means that I got to keep laying hold of the one who has laid hold of me. If I let him go, he'll let me go. Which makes sense, because Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, which means that the handle's on the inside. God doesn't force himself inside of the life of anyone. If anything, he's standing at the door and he's knocking. We got to let him in. But then notice what he goes on to say. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things. Now notice this. He says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I'm forgetting those things. Some application here. Sometimes we like to dig up what God has forgotten. Sometimes we like to dig up things that we have forgotten. Do you know that if God has forgiven you of sin and sins that you have asked him to forgive you of, 1 John 1 verse 9, he's faithful and just to forgive, who are you to dig that up? Who are you to keep going back, pulling up stuff that God says, I thought we already took care of that? I forget about those things that are behind. Well, we could go back into his contextual setting and we could think about his pedigree. But we know that he used his pedigree on many occasions to demonstrate where God had brought him. But we do know something. He says, I forget about those things that are behind. And now he uses a term, maybe those who are athletic can understand. He's stretching. He's trying to get across that finish line. And he knows that every fiber of his body is going to be needed. Every fiber of his mind, his soul, his spirit is going to be needed if he's going to make it to the meeting place. Friends, did you get that? It's going to take everything you got to make it to the meeting place. Because just as Brother Brian was just talking about, the heathen is raging. People are talking and going against the truth all the time. And we hobnob with some of these people because we got to work with them. And that's fine because you got to draw them to Christ. But if you're not careful, they can hinder you from going to the meeting place. We plan on going to the meeting because there's going to be a meeting one day. But notice what he goes on to say as I come to some type of closure. I reach forward to those things which are ahead, the resurrection. I press toward the goal. What's the goal, Paul? The resurrection, the meeting place. I'm ready to meet the Lord in the air. That's the goal. The goal is not to attain the things that he had forgotten about or the things that he said was refuse. The goal is the meeting. And meeting God in the air. And so no wonder he would say in verse number 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk according to the same standard. It is based upon this standard that God has left us that even teaches us about the meeting. And friends, this meeting is going to be a great meeting one day. That we're going to be able to see everyone who was faithful and everyone who was trustworthy. That God was able to look down and say, that one and that one and that one is following me and following my son. And those are going to be the ones that's going to meet the Lord in the air. Do you want to meet him? Because there's a meeting day coming. And God is interesting. Acts 17, 30 and 31. That God proved it by raising his son from the dead. It's going to be a meeting one day. The question is this, will you make it to the meeting? Because the meeting, the date has already been set. I know the very fact that we're here, we want to make it to that meeting. Hope, pray, and trust that you're thinking about meeting the Lord one day in the air. Accomplish what you will here. But make sure you accomplish everything you need to accomplish to make the meeting. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider obedience to the gospel, death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of the Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe a child of God, and well, at one time you was prepared for the meeting, but your eyes are not on the meeting, it's on other things. Let's cast our eyes on the meeting, on that resurrection day, where we'll see the Lord's face in peace as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.